tell by the reading, we are looking at the Ten Commandments here on Mother's Day. So, that was kind of a challenging thing to work it all out, but we're going to try. And it's really not about mothers, it's really about the Ten Commandments. So, but I have some little excerpts to add. Let's pray. Father, what a great joy it is to be in your presence, to hear about what you've been doing in terms of reaching out to those who are in need, as well as just lifting up your name in worship. Oh, we love you. We thank you for the death of Jesus Christ and then his resurrection. That's what saved us. And now we're your people. And as we look at scripture this morning, we're looking at a nation who was saved first, and then they were given the Ten Commandments because now they are the people of God. Teach us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I was one of my mother's treasured possessions. She had five of them, and I knew it. I could sense it. And I am more convinced of it after her death than during the days of her life. If I had my life to do over again, I would spend more of my time simply trying to please her in a more complete way. One of the simplest ways to please my mom would be to know what she loved, which is another way of saying, get to know the rules that guided her life. These are not my mom's rules, but they are suggestions for you on this Mother's Day to get to know and to show love to your mother. So love your mom. Do it in certain ways. She knows the best way, and you should follow her cues. Be grateful. Listen to her. Help out. Respect her. Spend time together. Surprise her, be caring, share love, talk about what you love about her, and then just remember her on this special day. Now that's, I'm not going to unpack that anymore. I want to go on to the Ten Commandments. No one would argue that these things we've just looked at, these gestures of love, that they would please a mother. And most children in some form probably try to express appreciation. Now, if we all agree that good moms should be honored, shouldn't we also expect that the good father in heaven should have a list of gestures, a list of rules that please him? So that's my proposition this morning. It is not wrong for a good mother to have a list of expectations that would make her feel loved. Therefore, should we expect anything less from God? Ultimately, this is what the Ten Commandments were meant to accomplish. One, they were meant to reveal to believers that God loves us. Two, they were meant to inform us what God loved. Three, they were meant to give us the opportunity to experience God's love. God loves us. God wants to be loved by us. He knows what makes him feel loved. And the Ten Commandments reveal to us how to love him. So let's start from this premise. God's purpose in the Ten Commandments was to help us love him. Why should Israel, God's people in the time of the Exodus, love God? A good starting point is Exodus 19, verse 4. You yourselves have seen what I did, this is God speaking, what I did to Egypt, and how I carried on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, after I've done all of that, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you, will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words, Moses, you are to speak to the Israelites. This reflects the heart of God for the people of Israel. So God has a few words that will encourage the nation to flourish at being God's treasured possession. The Ten Commandments are these words. The first thing God said was, I am the Lord your God. Now there are five things that made Israel flourish at being God's treasured possession, his priests and his holy nation. And in verse 2 of chapter 20, we read, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. Therefore, you shall have no other gods before me. Now what that means is this, worshiping any other god displeases the God who saved Israel, and it is forbidden. But what that says to me, if I'm putting myself in God's shoes, God is saying this, I love it when you say, why should I want any other God? The Lord is my God. The people of Israel have just been delivered from a nation of worshipers of other gods. And what happened under those other gods? Other gods produced the hardship and the oppression that Israel experienced in Egypt. Other gods created conditions that abused and enslaved Israel. So how were they delivered? By their God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God loved them. He was empathic towards their suffering. He was committed to their well-being. You know what? God knows the weaknesses of his chosen people. They are not immune to worshiping other gods. This first commandment seeks to protect them and nurture loyalty to himself. Therefore, it is the most loving thing God can do for his people to tell them, you shall have no other gods before me. To not tell them that would be setting them up for failure. In the true God, they will always find a rescuer and a deliverer. God is not miserable. God is magnificent in his grace towards his people. So if I were an Israelite, having been delivered by God from my enemies, and I were to ask, how can I show appreciation for what God has done for me? What gesture of love could I make toward God? I would have a resolution in mind, and it would be this. God, you will be the object of my total devotion and worship. So God spoke another word to Israel in the Ten Commandments. He says, you shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything as a substitute, basically, for me, and then bow down and do what it wants you to do. You shall not make me, God is saying, after your image. God said, again, I am the Lord your God, therefore, I really love it when you're not always trying to change who I am in order to get something you want. God is saying, I am not you. God is not Larry. I have been made in the image of God, and I am not made the opposite way. I do not want you to love me, God is saying, only because of what I can do for you. That would be like worshiping an idol. I want you to know me and love me for who I am, who I reveal myself to be. So when we make God in our image or in the image of anything he has created, we do him a great disservice. We make the great and glorious, the good and holy God into a God who is small and mundane. Trying to make God into what we want him to be is like creating a genie or a robot God over whom we hold the controls in our hands and tell him what to do. So be careful that you worship the God he has revealed himself to be. This bothers God so much that he doesn't leave it there. So he goes on in the second part of verse 5. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. See, it says there that God is a jealous God. Now, he is not jealous in a bad sense. I know our English word communicates that. But the best English words to translate the Hebrew would be zealous or passionate. Those words are not negative. Zealous suggests that God is like a mother who is protective of her children when they are in danger. Passionate is like a husband whose wife is being pursued by a lover from outside of the marriage. God's treasured possession, you and I, the people of Israel in that day, his people are so valuable that he places himself between the danger which threatens them and the people themselves. He wants you for his own, and he is passionate about you. Parents are especially vulnerable to creating and exposing children to idols. The idolatrous family attitudes and habits of parents can be implanted in the hearts of the children that will be repeated generation after generation, just as verse 5 says. This is not good, but there is hope. What is exciting to me in these verses, although some people will jump on and say, see how rotten God is? What is exciting to me is though the parents' rebellion is punished only to the third and fourth generation, for those parents who love God, God shows love to 1,000 generations. Now, reading between the lines, I see this. God has no great passion to mete out punishment. What I see about punishment is God has a responsibility, an obligation due to his holiness and his need to deal with sin in his people's lives. But I notice his passion, and that is expressed by this 1,000 years of loving. His passion is a love to express grace. Okay, those who hate me, I'm going to make their children repeat the cycle. I'm not even going to make it. They are going to repeat it because of the parents for 3 or 4 generations. But then he says, but those who love me, man, I just want to pour out 1,000 generation of love for on their behalf. So what does this say about God? The God who loves me passionately wants to reveal his plan to me. Now, I must not get him to do what I want. It is better to welcome what he wants to do for me and through me. I am forbidden to make God into my image, to custom design a God after my own desires. Thankfully, God is not made in my image. The beautiful story of the Bible is God is committed to making me into his image. So then, what resolution shall I make if I want to please God and show that I love him? My second resolution would be this. God, I will express my worship in conformity with what you have revealed about yourself, not how I wish you to be. I will hear your word and do your will. I will not require worship to be pleasing to me, but will submit my preferences to your pleasure. God has a third word for his people that will cause them to flourish as his treasured possession. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold guiltless who misuses his name. So God says this, I am the Lord your God, therefore, do not misuse my name for your own advantage and profit. God is saying this, you know what, Larry, I really love it when you choose to use my name to promote integrity in this world and the peace and prosperity of others. What is the wrongful use of the name of God? Well, let me suggest some scenarios where it is taking God's name in vain. I am misusing the name of God when I use his name to get my way against his will. I'm misusing God's name when I use his name to get more money out of people's pockets, like some televangelists. They're easy to pick on. I am misusing God's name when in God's name I incite people to violence. I'm misusing God's name when we use God's name as a tool to gain power or to earn extra profit or to cause division. And then I include myself, we misuse God's name when we claim to be a Christian without living according to Christ's teachings. So what is the legitimate and honest use of the name of God? God's name is used appropriately when it is used to work toward justice, reaching down to those in need and encouraging those who promote mercy and love in the world. How else do I use God's name appropriately? Well, God loves it when I practice what I preach. He loves it when my behavior matches what I believe. And I know from experience that living like that is really not that easy for me. Why is that? Well, you have to fight off temptation and discipline your mind and body to say no. You have to die to yourself, and you have to ask the Holy Spirit to create in you a clean and a pure heart. And you know what? That's hard for me. But when you struggle like that, you know what? God is pleased. He sees your passion to please him. And when we engage in this fight to remain in him, God is pleased. God is also pleased when, in the name of God, we speak thoughtful words to others. When, on the job, we work to serve the Lord and not just a boss. When we encourage others in their weakness and provide for the poor with the riches God has bestowed upon us. Based on this third command, what gesture of love would I make toward God that would bring pleasure to him? Resolution number 3, God, I resolve to live a life of integrity that aligns with your true character. The fourth word that God spoke, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And I think what God is saying and what God is trying to communicate to me out of that is, Larry, I love it when you make room to know me and to listen to me. So verse 9 says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So remembering involves paying close attention to your relationship with God for the purpose of being made holy, of being made into his image. Which means changing your attitudes, your behavior, and your schedule so that you are set apart and in sync with what God wants you to do. God's desire is to transform us. If you ever think you walk into the Christian life and say, I can remain the same as I was before, no, that's not God's will for you. God wants to transform you. So how does this get done? Well, according to this verse, part of it is by resting, by stepping back from the pressures of surviving and devoting oneself to the privilege of resting. It is in the resting where relationships are cultivated. Couples who work constantly and do not rest will not enjoy the fruit of marriage. The same is true in our relationship with God. What does this say about God? God loves it when knowing him, spending time with him, and reciprocating his love back to him is our desire. So I come up with resolution number 4. God, I resolve to take a break from the hustle and bustle of life to reflect on and rest in the love that you have shown for me. I will allow you to use this time to refresh my soul, to tune my heart toward good works, and to fortify my resolve to walk in obedience to you. God's got a fifth word that'll cause us to flourish as his treasured possessions, because that's what these commandments are all about. They're not just no, 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 no. They are about, yes, this is what God loves. This is what he's like. So, Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord is giving you. So God's saying, I am the Lord your God, therefore, Larry, I love it when you take advantage of the relationships I have created and use them to nourish your faith. What's that got to do with mom and dad? Well, God longs to see the love he has nurtured in one generation flourish and grow in the next generation. His love is unique. He wants his love modeled. He wants it offered to people's offspring. He wants his love shared with others. Now, how does he do it? The natural way is through parents. The command is not just about children obeying. It's about parents living in a way that earns the honor of their children. Now, parents are the link between God and children. And what makes parents worth honoring? Well, I'm just going to say it. You can go to the next slide because I'm going to skip it, basically. But what makes parents worth honoring? This is my stuff, so that's why I don't want to really preach on it. But basically this, they are worth honoring because they are apprentices in the art of love. So long before children were born, these parents, love is the magnet that draws them together, and then there's a whole bunch of stuff there, and we'll go on to the next. Young children honor parents without parents commanding them to do so. Their honor of parents is diminished over time by outside influences. But this is a command to children to do what they in their infancy did naturally. There was a time when children just honored parents, when they were really young, and sometimes as they grow older and older and older too, but let me give you some hope. Many children return to honor their parents. Many children return to honor their parents, and they do it in their adulthood once they have had their own kids, especially. I can tell you, I've always honored my parents, well, not that much before I got saved, but the day I got saved, Jesus Christ opened my eyes. Oh, my mom and dad are smart. And so, like, that's what I'm saying is, but sometimes if God doesn't do that work, it seems to happen over a long period of time, and then when they get to be like, you know, 60, oh, man, I love what my parents did for me. I know they didn't do it all right, but boy, I love them anyhow. Okay, what's the fifth gesture of love that will make God feel loved from me? Resolution number 5, God, as a parent, I will be a fervent student of who you are and a faithful mentor to my children. If I'm a child, I just say this, I will respect my parents so that I may give evidence of my desire to please you, God. So far in the passage, we have seen the commandments. Purpose is to help us to get to know God and ultimately love him. Verses 13 to 17 give us 5 more commandments. Now they answer this question, what will be the outcome of knowing God and loving him? And the answer is, we will not only show God that we love him, we will also show others that we love them. And so the sixth thing that God, that shows love to God, and something that God would probably say back to me, Larry, I love it when you treat others the way you want to be treated. And so if the parents love God according to the first five commandments, their love for God will inspire their children to live according to the last five commandments. And what are those commandments? Commandment number six, do not murder. They will learn to have a respect for life. Command number seven, do not commit adultery. They will learn to have a respect for marriage. Do not steal. They will learn to have a respect for the property of others. Command number nine, do not lie about others. They will learn to have a respect for truth. Command number 10, do not covet what belongs to others for yourself. They will learn to have a respect for the rights of others. So I will be content with what others have and not dwell on what I am missing out on. Resolution number 6, God, I will show respect for what others have and not dwell on what I am missing out on. Psalm 1 says this, I'm going to go a little over time here. Psalm 1 identifies the mark of a godly person. The godly person loves the law of God. He or she meditates upon it day and night. Why? Whoever is in love wants the person they love to tell them what to do to give them pleasure. Therefore, if we love God, we too will want God to reveal what it is that gives him pleasure. And therein lies a reason for God giving us the Ten Commandments. These are the 10 things that please God. Please understand this about the law. Obeying God isn't just about following rules. It's about cultivating an inner heart of love, mercy, and integrity. Only by living according to the rules will you understand and appreciate what God loves. And when you do, you will be assured that you are loving God in the way he wants to be loved. By these rules, you will also be able to tell when you have failed at loving God. And so I'm just going to end with this part here. If you fall short in keeping the Ten Commandments, because I think it's so important, every day, probably every single day in my life, I will break some part of the Ten Commandments. Most of the time I don't even realize, and sometimes I don't want to do it, but I do. If you fall short in keeping the Ten Commandments, it is God reminding you to draw closer to him and to treasure him as he treasures you. God says, as much as I want you as my treasured possession, I also want to be treasured by you. Obedience in the Ten Commandments is all about deepening our connection with God. It is not got anything to do with earning salvation. My mom had good and reasonable rules, but breaking the rules never changed the fact that I was her treasured possession. I became her treasured possession when I was born into her family, before I had done anything. She loved me first before I loved her. She loved me first, and the same is true about God. This is what I learned about rules from my mom. The rules were never greater than her love for me. In fact, the breaking of the rules often created a void in my own soul that led me to a deeper understanding and appreciation of what pleased her. God never said, I'm giving you these commandments so that by keeping them, you may become my people. What God said was this, I am giving you these commandments because you are my people. The Ten Commandments are gracious commandments from a loving God who seeks the best for his people. So if you start trying to live out the Ten Commandments, it won't be long before you're saying to yourself, I desperately need help. The Ten Commandments are like a good mother who tells you where you need to go and then is willing to walk with you so you get there. And Jesus is Jesus is who you need to meet when you fail at the Ten Commandments. Jesus perfectly kept the Ten Commandments. He died on the cross to pay the penalty for us breaking God's commandments. It is his obedience to God that saves me and rescues me. When we place our faith in him and in his death on the cross, his perfect life is exchanged for our sin. We get the benefit of his perfection and our sin is left on the cross. Our sin can no longer accuse us or point out our failures. The penalty is paid. That is the gospel, the good news of Jesus. Now, don't be upset after being a Christian for 10, 20, or 50 years. The commandments keep pointing out our faults. Discovering our flaws that the commandments point out are intended to increase our appreciation of Jesus. The longer we walk with Christ, the more we are aware of our sinfulness, and yet the more eagerly then we will cling to Christ. So let the law do what it is supposed to do. It is like a schoolmaster, a homeschool mom, who every time we fail points us to Jesus in whom we find forgiveness and gain a deeper appreciation of the God who has claimed us to be his treasured possession. The truth is, God cannot love you more than he already does. But you can probably please him more than you do. Embrace the love of Jesus and his sacrifice for your sake, and you'll find the commandments are paths to knowing the Father of Jesus more deeply. Again, if we truly are lovers of God, we long to have God tell us what to do. And when we do so, we are treasuring him as he treasures us. Father, may your Holy Spirit just drill these thoughts into our hearts. Thank you for giving us the Ten Commandments. I know the law causes a lot of affliction, but the law drives us to Jesus, and Jesus always extends forgiveness. Father, help us to treasure you the way you have treasured us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.